Good evening. Welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church here in rainy Elkview, West Virginia, on this Wednesday night, the 5th day of August 2026. And we just finished our praise and worship, and this is where the point where we invite our online audience to join us. And we appreciate you guys watching online, and as always, we'd love to hear from you. Click that like button. If you have a prayer request or if you have a question that you need answered, click that comment button. Put your request in. Put your question in. We'll be happy to reach out to you. And as always, we are a church that exists to bring praise and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We appreciate you joining us tonight. All right. We've got a small group in our building tonight. And tonight's devotional is entitled Resolving Relational Conflict. Resolving Relational Conflict. And this message comes from an excerpt from a book that was repeated by Todd Friel, Pastor Friel, as part of the Wretched Radio broadcast a few years back. And I found it to be a really good mini study on the topic of personal conflict. Personal conflict. So in a nutshell, as you might imagine, there are good ways and bad ways to handle relational conflict. So the good ways are, of course, defined right here in God's Word, of course. While the bad ways are, of course, dictated by the world. And we're going to talk about some evidences where we can examine our own hearts and our own behaviors to determine whether we're handling the struggle the biblical way. And as you might imagine, at the heart of the conflict is our position towards the person with whom we are having the battle. As you remember, Jesus taught us to love one another. And if we're truly following that guideline, His guideline for us, then we will truly love the other person regardless of the strife that's ongoing. And in James chapter 1, the Bible gives us some additional guidelines. Betty's going to pull up James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. I'll be reading from the New International Version. James 1, verses 19 and 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Thus reads the Word of God. Fathers, we come into your house tonight, Lord. It's our desire to uncover the truths that you have put in this Word so many years ago. Truths that are valid today as much as they were when they were written. God, we just pray that you guide me as I speak. And God, that we would come away learning something about how to handle conflict in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, I had the wonderful opportunity to pay for a new, brand new transmission in my Ford Explorer. When I say opportunity, you can understand what that means, right? Back then, it was an enormous price. Huge price, many thousands of dollars that I had to pay to get my vehicle back. And so I paid it to the owner of a shop in the town of Hurricane. And this shop owner explained to me how angry people have been with him over the years. He told me a story about a customer who was angry about the price of a new transmission. And he said, "This man cussed me up one side and down the other." We've all been there, right? We know what that means. He said, this shop owner said, "I patiently waited for this man to finish. I waited for him to finish." And he said, "I looked him straight in the eye and I asked him point blank, 'Sir, are you a born again Christian?'" And he said, this man put his head down and he said, "Well, I'm ashamed to say it, but yes, I am." And the shop owner replied to him, "You should be. You should be ashamed because of the way you just spoke to me." Does anybody question what the Bible says about human anger? Human anger does not lead to the righteousness that our God desires. Nothing good comes from it. And when we speak in anger, we are guaranteeing that we will go off the rails somewhere and we will do something wrong. Acting in anger almost never works. All right, let's talk about the evidence. We're looking for evidence tonight. What are some evidences that reveal the position of our hearts? The true position of our heart with the other person that we're having a conflict with. So let's start with the negatives first. These are always the most fun ones, right? We're going to start with negatives. So what are some evidences that we're really not loving the person with whom we're engaged in conflict. Here it is again. Seven indications, seven signs that would make us conclude that we're really not loving the other person. All right, you ready? Number seven up. Number one evidence that we don't love the other person is we would rather win the argument than redeem the relationship. Does anybody here like to win an argument? I got my hand up. I'm going to turn the camera around. Everybody's got their hands up. It's amazing. It's human nature, I think, for every single person to show people that we're right and they're wrong. I think that's just natural. And I'm guilty of this, by the way. Winning an argument, I've got it bad. Okay, so that's one evidence. Evidence number two that we're not loving the person that we're having a conflict with. Evidence number two is we have a hard time asking for forgiveness. Anyone here like that? Asking for forgiveness, what does that mean? It means that we acknowledge our own screw-up, right? Asking for forgiveness means telling the other guy that he was right and we were wrong. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. Okay, evidence number three that we're truly not loving the person we're having a conflict with. Number three, we will not admit being wrong first. We will not admit being wrong first. And, you know, sometimes in a conflict, you find out that both people have their information wrong. It's easy to point out where someone else goes wrong, but what about when we've got it wrong? Maybe we've based our entire argument, maybe we've based all of our anger and all of our energy on nothing but hearsay. Maybe it's really not based on truth after all. Again, it's a difficult thing to admit when we're wrong. Okay, evidence number four that we're truly not loving the person that we're having a conflict with. Number four, we act as though the only perspective that is right and logical is our perspective. You know, when I'm guilty of this. When a logical argument clicks in our brains, when it clicks and we're like, I got it. When it clicks, sometimes it's hard to back off of that. It's hard to rethink. It's hard to relearn when new information rolls in. Sometimes, if we're honest, we don't want to hear other points of view. Sometimes we don't want new information because we've already decided what we want to believe, right? But it is possible that our logic might have been based on partial information. Maybe it's based on opinion rather than fact. All right. Evidence number five that we're really not loving the person that we're in conflict with. Number five, we do not enter the conversation as a learner, but rather as a point maker. It's easy to think, hey, we're here to educate you. I'm here to tell you what you need to know. And there's nothing you can teach me, right? Let me take you to school. Let me show you where you're wrong. It's easy. It's easy to have that kind of an attitude. Now think about this. Do we care more about the point that we're trying to drive home? Or do we care more about the person that we just scarred for life? Think about that. Okay, number six. Number six evidence that we care more, that we are not loving the other person we're having a conflict with. Number six, we devalue the person that we are speaking to by being unkind. Now, being unkind can be a combination of behaviors. It could be that we're ignoring the other person. It could be that we're perhaps interrupting the other person as they're trying to speak. We could be making that person feel that we hate them. We could make them feel that we don't trust them at all. That's number six. And finally, number seven. Evidence number seven that we're really not loving that person that we're having a conflict with. Number seven, our communication to the other person is completely disrespectful. It can be very easy to attack the person rather than the problem. It's easy to do. And sometimes at the end, when it's been resolved, sometimes we realize many problems are technically, they're not personal at all. But we tend to attack them as if they are personal. And there's no excuse for anybody being disrespectful. Like that example of the shop owner who got cursed out. There's no reason for anybody to get cursed out like that. All right. So there they are. Those are the seven pieces of evidence that would point an observer, if they were watching. Those are the kinds of evidence that would make that person conclude that we're really not loving the other person. But what if we truly do love the other person? Would there also be evidence of that? And the answer is yes. Are you ready for more of these? There's 8 of them. There's 8 pieces of evidence that demonstrate that we truly do love the person that we're having the conflict with. Are you ready? Evidence number 1, that we are truly loving the person. Number 1, we are more willing to listen to them than to speak to them. James chapter 1, verse 19, we just read this. James 1:19 says that we should be quick to what? Quick to speak? No, quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. And you might say, well, that's the exact opposite of what I want to do. I want the other guy to shut up so I can talk. Anybody ever feel that way? I'm raising my hand over here. But when we decide that we want to be more willing to listen, that's evidence that we truly love the other person. All right, evidence number 2, that we truly love the person that we're having a conflict with. Number 2, we regularly pray for them. We regularly pray for them. First Corinthians 1:4. Betty's going to pull it up. 1 Corinthians 1:4. Paul tells the church in Corinth, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. So ask yourselves, am I praying for this person? Do I love the person? Well, that would be one evidence that you do love the person, is you're praying for that person. All right, number 3. Evidence number 3 that we truly do love the person that we're having a conflict with. Number 3, our speech builds them up. Ephesians 4:29. Betty's going to pull it up. Ephesians 4, verse 29. The Bible says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Sometimes we just need to ask ourselves, when we're having a conflict, are we actively trying to build that person up? The person who's opposing us, are we actively trying to build that person up? All right, evidence number 4, that we truly do love the person we're having a conflict with. Number 4, we quickly repent when we are harsh to them. Proverbs 15:1, Betty's way ahead of me here. This is a famous verse. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many of us have ever been harsh with somebody? When we've been harsh with someone, we need to go back and tell them. We were wrong to have that kind of attitude. Even if we were right about the subject matter, we were wrong to have the attitude. We were wrong to have the tone of voice. The wrong tone of voice can be awful. Okay, evidence number 5, that we truly do love the other person we're having a conflict with. Number 5, we are quick to guard our tongues so that we do not hurt the other person. Psalm 141, verse 3, we ask our God to set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. When was the last time we prayed for God to watch over our own speech? When was the last time we asked God to guide us when we were about to say something? Do we pray that God would help us to say the right words? Do we pray that God would help us to think before we speak? Do we care enough about the other person to make sure that we guard our tongues properly, the way the Bible describes? All right, number 6. Evidence number 6, that we truly do love the person that we're having a conflict with. Number 6, we speak wisdom to the other person so that we can serve them properly. This is Proverbs 16:23. I'm going to read what's on the screen here. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. So in other words, instead of giving the other guy a piece of our mind, perhaps we should dial it back just a tad, offer the other person some godly wisdom. Maybe the other person simply doesn't know what we know. They may not have the same information. Having a prudent mouth, by the way, will have benefits in many other areas in life, including in the workplace. And by the way, this Proverbs chapter 16, this is a famous chapter. There are two other famous verses from this same Proverbs 16. Remember the phrase, pride goes before the what? Before the fall. Pride goes before the fall. That's from the same chapter, Proverbs 16, 18. And there's another one. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. That's Proverbs 16, 25. That's two verses after this verse that you see on your screen here. So let's make a decision to do it God's way. Let's do it God's way the first time and every time. Okay, two more. Evidence number seven, that we are truly loving the other person that we're having a conflict with. Number seven, we are selective in our speech so that we do not sin against the other person. Proverbs 10:19. The Bible tells us, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. There it is again. The prudent, people who are prudent, have learned how and when to hold their tongues. Now, does anybody in here have a hard time holding their tongue? The prudent man, the prudent woman, learns how and when to hold their tongues. Sometimes the right thing to say is nothing at all. Sometimes the right thing to say is to listen. We need to slow down, make sure we're doing it biblically. We need to be careful in what we say and how we say it so that we don't sin against the other person. All right, finally, number eight. Evidence number eight that we truly love that person that we're having a conflict with. Number eight, we carry them in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 5, Paul tells the church, the early church in Thessalonica, he says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. That's what true love looks like. That's what real love looks like. All right, let's wrap it up here. We should remember, conflict is completely normal for relationships. There's never been a relationship on this planet where two people have never ever gotten into conflict. That's completely normal. But when it comes, we need to learn how to handle it biblically. We need to handle it carefully. We need to slow down, back off our initial thoughts and our initial desires, and think about how Jesus would answer. Now, conflict can become a positive thing. You would be amazed how many times this happens. Conflict, when it's handled properly, can actually eventually lead to a mended relationship. Conflict, I'm going to say it again. Conflict, when handled properly, can lead to a mended relationship. That's an opportunity that we don't always get. All right, so the next time we're engaged in a conflict, let us not do what the world does. Let's not broadcast the conflict on social media. Oh my goodness, it drives me crazy when I see this. When you're in a conflict, do not broadcast the conflict. And when we're in a conflict, let's not solicit other people. What do I mean by that? I mean, don't solicit people to come and join our side. Get more people on our side against the other guy. Let's don't do that. Let's not attack the person. Let's attack the problem. And if possible, let's seek a face-to-face talk with the other person. Face-to-face means one-on-one. When you go talk to that person, you do not want to bring your posse of friends with you. Because your posse of friends are on your side. They're going to mislead you. They're going to cause you to do something you don't want to do. One-on-one. Go one-on-one with the other person and keep your cool. Keep your cool. Now, the Bible also says if someone has wronged us, that we do not return the favor the way that they have wronged us. We must decide to pay back evil with good. All right, let's wrap it up here. Couple more points I wanted to make here. When you're in conflict with another person, last thing you want to do is dredge up the past. Oh my goodness. Have you ever had a conflict with somebody, and the next thing you know, it's time to pack your bags because you're going on a guilt trip? Don't dredge up the past. Let's be willing to both forgive and ask for forgiveness. Be willing to forgive and be willing to ask for forgiveness. And when we handle conflict biblically, we strengthen relationships. We demonstrate our love for another person, and by doing so, we meet our God's expectations for us as we follow His Word and His ways. And as always, God's ways are better than our ways. Amen. Let's close in prayer tonight. Father God, we thank You for Your wisdom and Your Word. God, we know that we on our own, God, apart from You, we would listen to the wisdom of the world. God, we would do what sounds right and what feels right in our own hearts. And God, we know that that's not proper. We know that You have a better way. Lord, we like the way that You have told us where if we love the person, we will mend their relationship. God, we will gain a person over. And God, we want to love the person. God, we want to reach the person. Lord, it's not our job to hurt the other person in order to win an argument. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your Word tonight. Lord, we just want to say thank You for preserving Your Word all of these years, Father, that we can have this devotional tonight. Lord, as we come here and honor You tonight, may we leave, God, with a heart full of love for those we have conflict with. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.